Hello and welcome to ABW Radio Live. I am your host, Chris. First thing to say is we are no longer a foursome. We're now a three-piece band. Mr. Shredder has had some unexpected family incident come up, not Arsenal related, luckily. So he's not going to be able to join us, unfortunately. But alas, I still have John and I still have Carl with me to chew over the fun last 95 minutes of our lives. So afternoon, gentlemen.
Hello.
Afternoon, Chris. Yes, listeners, it really is me. It's just the hair and beard is gone for a short while.
Yes, John is awaiting the outcome of his court case, and we'll let you know how he gets on soon. Right, okay. First thing, we're gonna zip through in an hour today, guys, because a couple of us have got bits and bobs to do, and let's be honest, I don't think either of us or any three of us want to talk about this for much more than an hour. So let's start off then. John, what's your thoughts on today overall, general feelings?
Oh, it's just frustrating. Red card again. I know we'll come into that in more detail, but I don't think there was any real debate in that. But we just didn't turn up against Chelsea again. Played better, I suppose, in the second half towards the end when we were pressing a bit more, but just no pressure on the ball. Chelsea have been awful all season. They played okay for the game. I didn't think they were great. It's just so annoying. Why it just keeps on happening. That's the last time we beat them was the 5-3, wasn't it, in the league, I think.
Yeah, I think it was, yeah.
We haven't scored against them in the league in I don't know how many games it is now. Strange. I thought some strange substitution decisions as well during the game. Just nothing was good today. I thought most of the team was under par, with one or two exceptions. But most of the players on the pitch were just really poor today. It's just so annoying. And after the run of games we've had as well, I know it's Chelsea and I know they've been bad this season, but they are still a good team. So, you know, it's going to be difficult. But after the Liverpool and the Stoke game and everything else, you just wanted something to sort of boost the team. And it's just everything seems to be going backwards at the moment.
I will touch on a few things you brought up there. Carl, what was your overall thoughts on it today? Has John got a point? Is there a mental block against Chelsea, or do you think the red card was the key part of the whole game?
Mixture of both. We definitely the red card was it was a red card. You know, I'm sure we'll talk about that again later. And it was a red card, but there does seem to be a mental block when it comes to Chelsea. Just like they're our bogey team, we just can't beat them. And for some strange unknown reason, you know, it keeps happening. You're thinking how far they are behind in the league, behind us, and where they are in the league, and the performances they've had, and some of the results they've had, and they come to our place, and regardless if we've got a man down, you know, we didn't start well either, and you're wondering why is that? What is it? Is it an Arsene Wenger thing? Is it a team thing? I just don't know. It's just, like John said, it's really, really frustrating that this was probably the best time in a few years we had to try and beat them, and we just didn't play well in the slightest, and it's just annoying. Like, you know, losing the game, okay, you know, to a red card, we had 10 men for almost the whole game, but it's the way we lost and losing to Chelsea, that's what's the most frustrating thing.
Yeah, it is. It seems to be a bit of a bogey side. Right, John. Let's talk about the lineup to start with then. Any surprises for you? Personally speaking, I didn't expect Alexis to come back in. Were you surprised that Theo played Wijnaldum up top, or was it pretty much what you expected?
No, that's pretty much the lineup I would have gone with. I don't think there was a lot you could have done. There was an argument for starting Alexis, but you know, he hasn't played in what 2 months. So I think you've got to ease, not necessarily ease him back in because he's not the sort of player, but to get up to the speed of the game, I don't think starting him in that sort of game is maybe a good idea. I like the fact he was on the bench to come on. I thought he'd be good as an impact sub. So the lineup I thought was fine. I know some people wanted Theo up top. I didn't really think that would work just because I didn't think Chelsea are going to be holding a high line against us whilst we're at home. It didn't seem it's not really the sensible thing to do, especially if you are playing Theo Walcott through the middle. So I thought Giroud was the right option.
Yeah, well, I'm inclined to agree with you, Carl. Would you have anything you would have changed? Anything that you thought was different? We'll come on to the substitution because of the red in a minute, but just from the outset.
No, that's the team I probably would have started with as well. you know, there's this thing about putting Theo against John Terry, but we need to remember that Kurt Zouma's quite fast as well. So Kurt Zouma would be played behind John Terry, you know, if John Terry did push up too high. But no, same as John said, you know, I would have loved Alexis coming off the bench, you know, and playing as he did. He was made to be an impact sub for today because he has been out for so long. And for him to just go straight into a game of this magnitude would have been a bit too much.
Yeah, I'm with you both. The lineup, what we played, is exactly what I expected. Right, let's start with the red. Then I'll stick with you, Carl. Any arguments? I mean, I'm going to be, you know, completely blunt. I know people will tune into this hoping for all of us to just stick the boot into Chelsea and all that. It's not going to happen, guys. So if you're looking for that, maybe there's a channel elsewhere to find. I'm not going to have a meltdown about the opposition because they were better than us. Simple as that. But the red card was a massive turning point. Carl, do we have any? You know, do you have any?
No, it was a red card.
It was, wasn't it?
And anyone who is going to try and justify it's not, I'm sorry, you're a bit biased. Mm. Like, I love Arsenal to death and I hate Chelsea with a passion. But it was a red card. What Mertesacker's doing, I don't know. Like, people are going to be on Mertesacker and to some degree, they've got a bit of a point. Mertesacker is not the fastest player in the world, you know. What he's doing that high up the pitch, I don't know. You know, and even if you're going to be that hard to pitch, you've got to tell Koscielny to drop back a bit to cover you. The fact that when he makes the tackle, he looks first and then makes the tackle, that's what I didn't understand. Because I don't know if he's looking for the offside. I don't know if he's looking to see if Koscielny is covering him. I just don't understand what he's done. I think Jamie Carragher made a good point. If he concentrates on the ball, he may get that ball. But the fact that he looked, then went for the slide tackle, missed it, and you know, Costa didn't help. You know, he didn't help. He went rolling around like he'd just been shot in the head, which I wish he would have. But there's no complaints that anyone can say about that red card, because all day it was a red card. If that was on the other foot and it was Giroud running in on goal and John Terry taking Giroud out, everyone would be like, red card all day, send John Terry off.
Totally with you. No arguments. John, you've already said you agree it was a red. The situation that it came from, I think Carl has a point, and you know, we'll discuss Per in a minute because I know it's a talking point. But I think the second thing that Carl said is, I know Alan Smith in the commentary said he's looking for the offside. I don't think he was. I think he was indeed looking across to see if Koscielny was on the cover, and that's the reason he goes to ground. Make of that what you will. Was it the right decision? Clearly not, after all. But if he nicks a toe to that, it clears the ball. Everyone says great tackle. So, fine margins, is that fair?
I'd have to disagree a little bit there. I don't think he puts himself in that situation. I know Costa hasn't been at his best this season, but of the last couple of games, he's got, is it 3 and 5 or something like that? Hmm. He's been getting back into form. And as much as we all hate him and despise him, and there's no denying that he's probably one of the biggest cunts in the world, excuse my language, but you know, the bloke's a complete scumbag. He's a very good striker. And he does his job well and he runs the channels really well, so don't put yourself in that position. He obviously purposely singled out Mertesacker, which is sensible. It's what you would do. If you've got a little bit of pace, you're going to run up against the slowest defender. But yeah, Koz could have been slightly better positioned, but Per shouldn't have put himself in that situation, and just don't go to ground. If you can't make, if you know you're not going to get the ball, which I think he knew he wasn't, there's no point putting the challenge in. I'd rather he lets him get through one-on-one with Cech, and then if Cech doesn't make the save, all right, but we're still at a, you know, it's those sort of decisions that change games. I don't think, whether it would have changed it today, you can't really say, because you never know, but at that point in the game, it probably wouldn't have, because we were playing so poorly. But I just think it's a bad decision from him.
Mm. Yeah, I think that's probably fair. I'm going to stick to my view initially, but I do think you make fair points. Definitely an argument there.
I would also say that the fact he's got, you know, the weird situation with the two midfielders today, with Flamini and Ramsey, which I'm sure we'll go into more detail in, but there is, like, seemed to be no cover at all in front of the defence today, and just no pressure on the ball. So, like, Fabregas was getting so much time on the ball, could just pick out any pass he wanted, that wasn't helping the back two either.
Mm. I think it's, we'll talk about the midfield in a minute. That's a whole other issue. Carl, I spoke to you just before you come online, and I said that my biggest frustration, keeping it PG, my biggest frustration is we don't start these games, you know, but I suppose I'm just going to almost count on myself here and say sometimes we do, you know, Man United, we show what we're capable of in 20 minutes. Now, for me, this Man United side are no better than the Chelsea side have been this season. And yet for 20 minutes, well, up to the sending off, 18 minutes, whatever it was, we just kind of sat there and went, well, we'll ease ourselves into the game. You can have the ball, you can attack us. And it cost us. Why is it a mental thing? Is it a nerve thing? What do you make of why we start so slowly in these big games?
Apart from the Man United game, can you think of any other game we've started quickly in?
No.
That's the only game we've ever done it in. And I don't know what... I don't know if we had like a pint of Red Bull like before the game, but it's really bad. We just, it's almost like we say to each other like, oh yeah, we'll score eventually. So, you know, no matter, like against Liverpool, Liverpool tore us apart in the first, say, 10, 15 minutes at their ground. Like they should have been winning more than they were. Today, it's like, we just don't kick on. It's like you're thinking, right, this Chelsea team, they're 15th in the league. They're shit, sorry. Just go for them. Go for the jugular. And we just don't do it. And I just don't... It is frustrating that we just don't try and start well. You know, sometimes just lump a few balls into the box just to see how they react. You know, it's not... Sometimes you just got to play ugly and then try and do what you do best. And today, it just seems like... I don't know, like I said, I don't know if it's a mental thing against the players, a mental thing against Arsene Wenger, what it is about Chelsea, or we just don't go out there and just play quickly.
Hmm. Yeah, no, I'm with you. And a fast start dictates the tempo of your opposition. If you put them on the back foot, then you know you're essentially saying to them, you're on our pitch. If you want to beat us, you have to football through us. And yet we sort of set up and go, well... Welcome to our beautiful ground. Enjoy your stay. Have the ball, and you know, if we get in front, great. If we don't, then we'll just wait. I don't understand it, John. Let's talk about the midfield. There seems to be two, or lack thereof. Seems to be two camps. You can either live in the pro Ramsey camp or the pro Flamini camp, or the everything ship and the stadiums of the ground camp. It doesn't seem to be either or. Blame's the wrong word. Who do you feel is responsible for this constant evacuation of the midfield time and time again? Or do you think both are responsible because there's no communication there?
Well, first of all, fuck whatever camp you're in. I couldn't give a shit.
Agreed.
My language today is going to be awful. Ramsey was sitting like near enough all game for so long, and it was just like... I'm not massively complaining because we've been critical of him going forward too much and not really covering in the defence. And I was like, okay, this is good. He's being a bit more disciplined. This is fine. It was restricting him getting into the box as much, which is frustrating because that's the best side of his game. But then Flamini, I don't know, he like changed his name by depot to Matthew Flambaston or something. I don't know what he was doing. All game, he's just like, all right, fair enough, he ran his ass off and he's going box to box and it was great. Why is he in the box? I'm sorry, I know he scored the wonder goals against Tottenham and they were great and I'll forever love him for it. I will always love Matthew Flamini, especially for those goals. But, like, the stupid thing with the flick on the outside of the boot, why is he not heading the ball there? You know, the other one where he turns and tries to score with his left but miskicks it with his right and falls over and John Terry sort of looks and laughs at him and he could have just squared it to Mesut Ozil. There's no reason for him to be in the box and I don't understand why that is. I don't believe for a minute that Ramsey has said to himself, I need to sit deeper today. But it doesn't make sense that Arsene Wenger would say, Flamini, you go up and down and Ramsey will sit, as if we'll sort of confuse Chelsea and they won't expect it to happen. I don't get where it's come from. It's so weird.
Carl, do you have a view on this sort of changing of roles or those two? I mean, for me, the two just don't work, full stop, whatever way you dress it up.
Absolutely agree. Ramsey and Flamini cannot play together. You know, they just can't. I think it's ill-discipline from Flamini because, let's face it, out of the two, it's got to be him that's got to be sitting. You know, out of the two, come on now, who's going to be better at going forward? And I just think that he's tried to take the game by the scruff of the neck today, and, you know, he's tried to push the team on, but that's not your role. Like, do your role. Do we get onto the goal, but even analysing the goal, if he's in his position, I don't think we scored that goal. They scored that goal, but again, we get onto that. Ramsey today, it just seemed like he didn't know where he was playing. It didn't seem like he knew if he was playing centre mid, left mid, playing back, playing forward. He just, sometimes I thought today he was running around the pitch like a headless chicken because he just didn't know what to do. You know, and he's trying to cut, when Firmino's gone forward and Chelsea trying to break fast, he's trying to cover, but then he's pushing forward and you're thinking, okay, where are you supposed to be? Why are you on the left wing? Why are you not in the centre? You're on the left wing, you're looking to try and pass someone in the middle, and there's no one there because you should be there. And that's what I didn't like.
Mm. Yeah, I get tired of the same player. I mean, you know, some of our fans do look for a scapegoat, and there is, you know, the constant sort of abuse that certain players get. What I do agree with you both on is that, you know, Flamini, I think you're right, Carl. I think he's the player that he sees an opportunity to lead the team, to drag the team, and he takes that. And that's fine if you've got a capable holding midfielder behind you that goes, okay, I know what you're doing, I'll let you go. I don't think it's Ramsey's game. And I don't think it ever will be. And like John says, you know, credit to Ramsey for stepping back in and sitting, but it's not his game. And to be perfectly honest with you, he's not very good at it, in my opinion. Let's sort of look at the goal then from an analytical point of view, if you will. It comes from a ball through the middle. Our centre backs are too far apart as usual. We're too high up the pitch as usual. John, what do you make of being that open at the start of a game? I mean, do you like the fact that we almost just take chances? You know, would you like to actually see us say, you know what, we're not going to play offside traps? I've never been a fan of them myself. I don't think we've done it well since 1995. So what's your thoughts on how high we seem to sit?
I don't really get what the team was trying to do today, because it almost looked like we were happy to give up possession before the sort of the sending off, which makes perfect sense if Theo Walcott is playing as the striker, but he wasn't. Giroud was. So it was like, okay, we won't pressure the ball at all. We'll let, you know, players of the quality of Fabregas, Willian, you know, Oscar, just have the ball and have 20, you know, 10, 15 yards of space around them, pick out a pass whenever they want. I just don't get it. The Monreal, I thought, was poor for the cross back in, could have closed down better. I thought Flamini was out of position and then ended up actually shielding Koscielny's run, where he could have got a block in. And even before that, you can go back to the other side of the pitch where there was the crossing from the left wing, wasn't it? And Bellerin there, who I actually thought had a good game, was probably one of our best players, didn't close down the ball quick enough easy there. But there just wasn't any cover from the midfield today at all. Joel Campbell, who's done really, really well, and I'm not picking on Joel Campbell because I know everyone thinks I completely hate him. I don't think he had his best game today. He's the one good thing I've always said that he has got is his work rate, but he didn't have that today and he wasn't helping out fullback. Theo Walcott, we know, doesn't help and doesn't track back. You know, and Giroud was trying his hardest whilst he was still on the pitch to run back and was covering more than Mesut Ozil was. And at times he was deeper than Ramsey and Flamini were, trying to win the ball back. I don't think the defence was helped at all today, but there were mistakes in that back four throughout the game.
I almost felt like, from Joel Campbell's point of view in particular, he was almost caught between a rock and a hard place. It's like, do I sit back and protect, or do I try and offer us an outlet? And
we'll, it's the problem, though. In those big games, you have to do both. Mm. You have to work that bit harder. They're the games you have to really perform in. And that's not to dig him out especially, because I don't think he had a terrible game. I thought he was okay and he didn't really have a chance to do anything. When he did do a couple of nice things up further up the pitch, but there was definitely worse players than him on the pitch, that's for sure.
Yeah, we'll come on to those. Carl, talk to you about the substitution. I have to apologise to Mr. Shredder, who's not with us at the moment, but I put something in our WhatsApp group and I said that I do not understand, quote, these morons that are booing in the stadium for taking Giroud off. And then Jace almost immediately afterwards said, why the fuck's you taking Giroud off? I was like, oops, sorry, Jace. But I don't, personally, I didn't understand why people booed that decision. To me, it was the obvious change. Giroud came into the game with a knock. He doesn't really offer us anything as far as explosive speed on the counter-attack goes, which is obviously how we had to play the rest of the game. what did you think of it? Was it the change you have made, or do you would you disagree with that?
I'm going to disagree with you, Chris.
Fair enough. I apologize to you as well.
I don't understand. I mean, I would not have booed the decision. I'm not just saying that. I genuinely wouldn't have. I don't understand it, though. Okay. Theo Walker, for the last four games, has done nothing. You know, let's be honest. Theo Walker has done nothing in the last four games. What him being on the pitch, what does it do for you? He's going forward, it just seems that all he does is run into players. Going back, he doesn't do anything going back. So what is he on the pitch for? Like, I just don't understand. I personally would have kept Giroud on. I would have put Ozil left, Campbell right. That's what I would have done. I would have maybe sacrificed the middle because you're looking at maybe a bit of wing play. Giroud, you can guarantee that you can knock the ball up to him. He's going to hold it up until players get to him. Theo Walker cannot do that. And he hasn't got Campbell's work rate. So that's the reason why I would not have taken off Giroud, because I just don't understand. Surely Arsene Wenger can see that Theo Walker is not playing his best at the moment. He's not going to offer anything. I mean, he said on the pitch, he didn't do anything. And, you know, hindsight is an absolutely wonderful thing. And maybe he thought, oh, yeah, push Theo up front and he can just play on John Terry's shoulder. But then he kept Theo on the left and put Ozil up front, which for me didn't make any sense. And I say this almost every time I'm on this. Arsene Wenger gets paid so much money to make these decisions. He's forgotten more about football than I will ever know. But sometimes I feel that he gets stuff wrong. And today, I feel that he got it wrong.
Fair enough. A good case for the defence. What I will agree with you on, 100%, is if you're going to leave Theo on, why on earth was he not pushed through the middle? Because it seemed, obviously, we only get the point of view of a television, so, you know, I'll stand by that. But it did seem like Mesut Ozil was the furthest forward for that whole first half and 20 minutes of the second. And it did seem strange to me that if you are going to make that decision, why not push Theo furthest forward? What I do agree with you, though, is, Theo has done next to nothing. Which leads me nicely onto one of his biggest fans, John.
I don't hate all the players, honestly.
No, and I, you know, I'm sort of known for being the, as Danny calls me, the deluded one. I always support the players we have. But Theo, for me, somebody sent a very good tweet, actually. Let me read it because it was an excellent tweet to our radio account. Here goes, Stan the Man. If Theo played for another team with the same record, would you buy him and pay him 130k a week and play him as a nine? I think the answer to that is no. Mm-hmm. Now, we all respect the fact he's been with the club 10 years. You know, he turned down advances of other clubs to sign a new deal, etc. I totally understand that he's playing out of position, having been told you will play as a striker. He's now shunted out onto the wing. But at 130 grand a week, I think you could pay me £13 a week and I'd learn the offside rule. Thoughts?
First of all, the playing out of position argument, that's bollocks. You're a footballer, you're paid by the club, you play where the manager tells you to play. I don't care if you're a striker and you have to play in goal, that's your job, you do it. Don't argue, don't moan, get on
totally
with it.
Totally agree.
Really does my head in when they say that. It looks like he's thrown his toys out of the pram before this game when he was moved back onto the wing. And the most frustrating thing is the Man City game does nothing for the entire game, but the one brilliant thing he does is an amazing goal. And you think, oh, wow, fuck it, that's amazing. Yeah, great, do that all the time. And he doesn't. He is, I don't want to say one-dimensional, because the Man City game is an example of him not being one-dimensional, but for me, he is, if the team you're playing against are pushing against you and they've got a high line, then yes, he's perfect, but that is it. That's his scenario. He's not diverse enough, you know the word I'm trying to look for. He doesn't offer enough different options to play that position. I think on the right-hand side, when he was playing there previously, before he got that run up front, he was good. He was decent there. You know, he'd get goals and he'd get assists. The problem was he's tracking back. And we've found other solutions to that now in players like Campbell or Ramsey playing there who do the role better. So the issue I had with the sub was basically what Carl was saying. That the fact that Giroud can hold the ball up, and then I think that Ozil really likes playing off of Giroud. Having that target he can hit, to run into a bit of space, pick the ball up again, and then to hit Campbell or, you know, whoever's running out on the left, whether it's Monreal or one of the fullbacks or whatever, that gives him a great option. The other thing Giroud gives you is when you're defending, set pieces. He's one of our best defenders in the team. You know, the really good Chelsea side from sort of 10 years ago, they had the same thing in Didier Drogba. You'd see him score as many goals as you would get clearances. So the sub made absolutely no sense to me whatsoever. Walcott is great in some situations, but just he doesn't turn up enough. It really frustrates me. And the whole he's been at the club 10 years and everything else. Well, what has he done in 10 years? There was a great bit on Arseblog. He was talking about Theo Walcott, and they were saying his highlights of all his goals he got. And two of the goals on the highlight reel, he fell over. He's falling over and sliding, and yeah, it's great. He managed to get back up and everything. But it perfectly describes Theo Walcott, and I love stole this from Arseblog, but Andrew really did get it spot on. It is true. It's just what he's like. He's so annoying, and I don't get it. And the thing that's worse is he's been at the club 10 years, and I don't see an improvement. I don't. The first touch still isn't there. The decision making still isn't there. The passing. And he just goes missing and goes hiding in games. It really annoys me. And for someone who is that quick, why are you offside? You don't need to be offside. He could be behind that Chelsea defence. I know Zouma is very, very quick, but he's the only one. You've just got to play the other side of Zouma. Just play the inside between Terry and you know, Azpilicueta. That's fine. Play that. It doesn't. I don't. Oh, he's so annoying. Shut up.
Preach, Brother Welsh. For the record, I totally agree with everything you've just said, 100%. What I'd like to say, Carlos, I'll ask you on this one. I said the exact thing that John said there in our WhatsApp group. He's stealing my material, for fuck's sake. But the idea that Theo is that quick, he doesn't need to play on the shoulder. He can play 2, 3, even 5 yards behind. If you... Exactly what John said. Look at Costa. He pulls onto Mertesacker, pulls onto the weaker element. Why, if you're Theo Walcott, do you not say, right, I'm going to pull onto John Terry or Branislav Ivanovic, switch wings, and I'm just going to sit 2 to 3 yards behind, and the minute that we get the ball in a forward-looking position, I'm going to then make my break. And he made a very good run, what, 4 times today? And all 4 times he was offside because he just doesn't look along the line. And this is where people say he doesn't have a football brain. What do you make of him at the moment?
You stole my line. I was just going to say, Theo Walcott has not got a footballing brain. He hasn't. He is the sort of player who just kicks it and runs. You know, I don't know if you watch Theo Walcott. He seems to feel like he just can run through players. He runs directly at players and thinks he can just run through them. And that's the most frustrating thing ever. It's like he needs someone to sit down. I don't know if... After every game, Arsenal sits down with the team and says, we're going to watch this game as a team. I'm going to go through everything that went wrong. I would sit down with Theo and say, why did you do that? What was your decision? What was your decision why you did that? You know, sometimes it's not about always training on a pitch. Sometimes it's sitting in a room and say, right, tell me decision why you did that. Why did you pass that? Why did you pass it to him? Why did you not pass it back? Why did you run forward? And it just seems like Theo Walcott, after 10 years, like John said, I honestly don't think Theo Walcott has developed as a player, and I know I'm probably going to get slated, and I'm sorry if everyone doesn't agree with me. I genuinely don't, and you were spot on. If Theo Walcott played for any other team, would you honestly say, Theo, we want you, and we're going to pay you 130 grand to come and play with us? It wouldn't happen, and I'm not saying I want to get rid of Theo. I don't, but when we have a fit team, you know, if we ever have a fit team,
good
you know, does Theo Walcott start? Does Theo Walcott get into the team? I don't think on current form, no, he doesn't. Like, he genuinely doesn't. And I'll be hard pushed if he gets into even the sub bench. And I know people may say, oh, well, maybe, but if Welbeck's back, you know, and if Alexis is fit, the way Campbell's playing right now, does Theo Walcott get into our starting 11? No. Someone who has paid 130 grand should be on our starting 11. He should be one of the talisman, and he's not. He doesn't. Like John said, it's frustrating. You know, from the potential when we first got him, you thought, oh, Theo Walcott is going to be brilliant. He's going to be the next big thing. And I don't know if us as Arsenal fans and English media hyped him up too much, But it just seems like at the moment, I just can't see Theo Walcott taking us to the next level, or even taking his game to the next level.
Yeah. John, is there an argument to say, again, I'm purely playing devil's advocate, is there an argument to say that Theo Walcott as a number nine showed us in glimpses what he can bring us, in that if he's put through on goal and he does time the run, which, you know, he has shown he can do, weirdly, maybe through the middle is the only place that we can look to utilise him. Do you think that maybe he's just going to be that nearly man? Let's compare him to Raheem Sterling, for example, who I've openly said I don't rate very highly. But the one thing you can say with Sterling is that since he played through the middle for Liverpool at the time and has played through the middle for Man City, his decision-making is usually pretty good. You know, he does know when to make the runs, he does know when to pass, and he does provide a real constant threat. Whereas to me, like Carl says, Theo's game is based around one thing only, speed. And if you stop that, you stop the player. Do you think there's an argument to say that he should only play in this side when it's in place of Giroud?
I'm wary of saying it's his best position because I still don't think he's an out and out striker. I think he'd actually do better playing alongside another striker in a two up top. But excuse me. But he, when he did play up front this season, he did do very well, and I'll give him that. I think it depends on how the team's playing and who we're playing against. I think the problem he's got is he's too situational against who you play. I don't have a problem with him being on the bench and coming on in the game for Giroud and changing things up, so that's a different option up top, or starting the game and then Giroud coming on. That's different, that's fine. But I don't think playing him wide really does work anymore just because we have got better options there. And I think in most situations, the majority of the time, we are going to be playing teams who will sit deep, will deny space, and that's not really Walcott's game. That's not what he's about. And until he can show a consistent level of making the right decisions, his passing or first touch gets better, then I think Giroud's going to play over him all the time. Old Spurs player who supposes like a similar, if you were going to class Theo as a striker, like Jermaine Defoe when he was a bit younger and he was still just as quick. You look at Defoe who has that natural, just finishes, that kind of ability. Theo's missing that. He gets that when he's got that just split second, has no time to think, he'll just hit it and it goes in. But anytime he's got any sort of time on the ball or any time to think or make his choice, then it just goes to pot.
Yeah, some excellent points from both of you. And I suppose when we look at it, you could say that Joel Campbell has developed as a footballer faster in 4 years with three loan spells than Theo Walcott has in 10 years at the club, I would argue. Interesting one. Let's move on from Theo because we could be here all night and we've got stuff to talk about. I mean, there's not a lot of other things to say about in the game. I grudgingly will give the opposition some credit. I did think they managed the game very well, and they did what we can't deal with. Essentially, they kept the ball, they packed the defence, and dare I say, a certain ex player of ours was, you know, basically ran the game for them. What about in terms of going forward as a sort of an attacking side today? I thought even when we got Alexis onto the pitch. Carl, did you really ever feel like we were going to create something, which is, for me, a worry, whether you have 10 men or not? We never really looked like we could create anything clear-cut today, did we?
No, because we had no striker. Like, you take off our striker and then you start deciding to cross balls into the box. Theo Walcott is not going to header anything, you know, above John Terry or Kurt Zouma. Mesut Ozil, he's not going to be that guy to get into the box and just drive. You can't lump balls into the box and then moan when the striker doesn't get onto the end of it. Alexis came on and he, you know, for the 30 minutes he was on, he done more than Theo Walcott's probably done in the last four games. But he came on and he started driving the team forward, and that's what you wanted. You wanted, you know, a bit of oomph, someone just to get hold of the ball and just run, and that's what he did. And you know, there was a 15-minute spell in the second half where we did look good. You know, you sort of forgot, oh shit, we got 10 men. You know, like, you didn't remember that we had 10 men. And we did look good. You know, I think the, one of the positives for the game is that he's come back and he's looked sharp. So, you know, he can only kick on. And I take that from what Tom said in the chat. But, like, he needs someone else in front of him as well. And if we've just packed the midfield, there's no one in front of him. So you're trying to make a forward pass, but you've got no one to pass it to. So obviously Chelsea are just going to sit back and just be like, yeah, we'll soak this up, because that's what Chelsea can do. That's what, how they play.
Mm. And man, do we miss Santi Cazorla and Francis Coquelin in that middle? Because just the combination of Coquelin's industry of... I genuinely think if you have those two in our middle today, we probably get something from it, because Santi is so sensible in his ball retention and his use of the ball and his weight of the pass, and Coquelin would have freed Santi to say, right, you just play 10 yards in front of me, I'll sit in front of the back four, I'll do what I do best, and then you feed Ozil, and that's, you know, as you say, you could have brought Alexis on even up front and said, right, let's try and nick something. But we, you know, our midfield was just so, you know, without going back to the Ramsey Flamini axis, it just didn't work. John, with the sort of situation that we come out of this game in, you know, obviously with Leicester now top of the table, I'm still just about, it's a windy breeze, but I'm hanging on to my fence when I say that Leicester won't go the distance. I'm still clinging on by my fingertips. But Man City drew yesterday. That was probably the only good thing, because that lot down the road who I still don't see as title rivals, but they won. Apparently, he scored the greatest goal ever seen by man. Bollocks. But they won, and Leicester won. Now, do you see this as a game that we can just say, right, the red card, we almost used it almost as an excuse, and we say, look, it wasn't a fair game, as we did at Stamford Bridge. We lost the game. We go again. Or do you worry that this could knock us completely for six?
It's not good. I think we're more resilient than we used to be from losing these sort of games. I think if this is a few years ago, we probably lose that game 3 or 4-0 rather than just 1-0 when, you know, we end up getting hammered. But I think we're slightly more resilient. I assume Saka's only a one-game ban, as it's not a violent conduct red.
Yeah, should be one game, yeah.
Yeah, unless for some stupid reason they appeal it. I hope they don't.
And that'll be the cup game anyway, wouldn't it? So he probably wouldn't play.
No, not FA Cup. It's only League Cup. League Cup it counts for, not FA Cup.
Yeah, so he'll...
Separate organisations, the Premier League and the FA, to remember.
Ah, yes, indeed they are. So yeah. Who will he miss? Let me just check that. So he'll
Southampton
miss...
at home.
There you go. So there could be worse games, I guess.
So I assume he plays the FA Cup game and then obviously just misses the league game. Which, you know, Gabriel comes in, that's fine. I've got no problem with that. What I worry about more is the amount of goals we've let in. I know we didn't in the Stoke game, and, you know, thank God for Petacek, because we probably should have conceded in that one as well. What was it? 4 against Southampton, 3 against Liverpool. Mm. I know it's only 1 today. It could have been more. Our defence looks really shaky at the moment. So it's worrying, but hopefully we get back. The problem I've got is that we've got these league games, and then we've got the FA Cup, and then we've got the Champions League game as well. And it's all in a very tight period of time, and it's one of those, if we lose another one, it all snowballs, and it feels like the whole season unravels. Because we've all seen that happen before plenty of times. So that's the serious worry.
Mm, yeah, it is a worry. Carl, who do you put in this title race? I mean, I say I don't put Spurs in it just purely because they are getting away with a lot of results at the moment. And I know that's great. That's all fantastic and jolly good luck to them. They're 2 injuries away from falling down this table, in my opinion. What
did you just say? Good luck to Spurs.
In a very ironic, piss-taking way. Trust me. I would only wish.
I was going to punch you through my screen then.
The only luck I would wish them is if somebody reversed over them to drive over them the opposite way and hope they get crushed beyond an inch of their lives. What do you reckon, Carl? Is it a 3-horse race? Is it more? Could there even be other teams that could slide into this?
No, it's a 3-horse race. I know you think Leicester will drop off. I just don't think they will. Like, and that's the thing, because if everyone's thinking that. Now, if everyone's thinking that, they're thinking, oh, yeah, well we can afford to drop a few points here, you know, because Leicester's not going to be in the race. I just don't know. Like, it's a fairy tale, isn't it? And sometimes fairy tale stories do come true. Do you know what I mean? And it's frustrating. And I think we can't have these missed opportunities. We can't pass them up. And you know, the way Leicester are playing at the moment, they're playing well, and teams are now thinking, oh shit, instead of, oh, we can go and beat Leicester, they're thinking, damn, we might lose to Leicester. And it's this whole different mentality when you think like that. Man City would always be up and around there. I mean, I think if they lose Aguero, then yeah, I think they're out of the title race because they've got no one else in their team but Aguero. But it is a three-horse race, and we need to keep taking points if we want to keep it a three-horse race, because at the moment we're third. You know, it only takes a few results and, you know, you could be 6 points behind or 9 points behind. It doesn't take that much. And it's just frustrating that we've lost today, but we need to continue to play our game. Don't worry about anyone else. I don't care about people's role. I personally would love to tell the players, don't look at any results, just play your game. I don't want players to think, oh yeah, well, Man City drew today, so you know, if we drop a point, it's not too bad. Fuck that, it is bad. You know, we need to play our game and not worry about anyone else.
Yeah, I do agree with you. I think we need to focus on ourselves. I will say, I'm not, you know, I'm obviously cheesed off because it's a game that I came into this game really genuinely thinking that we could blow them away. I really did. I know Simon, one of our other guys in the group, was the same, and you know, call me foolish, but I just thought, I suppose I've been here 1,000 times, but I really thought today was the day we laid down a marker, and that's the bit that upsets me more than the result, in truth, because when you go down to 10 men at home with 18 minutes gone, let's be honest, you kind of expect it to be a defeat or you know, at best a draw. So it's disappointing. John, where does this going into, obviously we've got the cup next week now, so we've got a bit of time to lick our wounds. Then we got Southampton at home, who are starting to burst from their slumber standards just as we go to play them. How seriously do you take next weekend now, cup wise? Do you still rotate heavily? Do you think this is the perfect game to get a Coquelin and Alexis up to speed, for example?
I think it's you could definitely play. Are we home or away for the tie? I can't remember.
Home.
We're home. Okay. Yeah. So the pitch won't be horrible. It's the sort of game you can give Alexis 60 minutes in. Oxlade-Chamberlain could play in it. Maybe you can give Theo a go through the middle and see if he can sort it out. If Giroud has got a little bit of a knock, you need to rest him. It'd be nice to see Elneny actually play a game, because I'm pretty sure when you buy a player, you're supposed to play them. That's kind of the idea. Poor bloke sitting on the bench. I don't know. I mean, seriously, he signed for the club, and they're like, "Oh, you're going to Arsenal, top of the league." They're challenging for the title. He's come here, see us like go 3-3 with Liverpool. Like, heard about the 4-0 to Southampton, the 0-0 with Stoke. He's going, I haven't even heard of half of these teams. What's going on? I thought I was winning the league by signing for this club. He can't even get on the pitch. You know, he's looking at Matthew Flamini and thinking, that guy's playing in front of me. Okay, fair enough. I'll take your money, but this is confusing. You know, so maybe he gets his debut. I don't know was Arteta on the bench today? I can't even remember now.
No, he didn't make the bench. That's no. What I tweeted earlier. Where is he? Like,
I don't know.
He's in full training, as is Thomas Rosicky. From what I can gather, and I may be wrong, but from what I can gather, all three of those will be involved next weekend. Elneny, Arteta and Rosicky. So.
Yeah, so you can rotate in a few players, give Sanchez some minutes, try and get him up to speed. The Southampton game is midweek, isn't it? Premier League fixtures for those, I think.
Is it really?
I think they are. I'll just have a look. Yes.
Yeah, it's Tuesday.
Tuesday night.
Yeah. Okay. So it's a short turnaround for that, but they're both home games. So with those players coming back, hopefully we can rotate a few. The worry for me is that I want a decent run of games. I don't want to throw the cup in any way. You know, I want to get a win for a start and get sort of that mentality back. And also importantly, you need to get some wins under the belt, get the confidence back, because we've got Leicester coming up, which is a huge game. You know, I don't think anyone would realise how, like, if you put it early in the season, everyone would just ignore that fixture. But now it's massive, that game. And especially if they get the result the week before against City. Then, you know, that becomes a real, that could be like a title deciding match, which seems ridiculous to say. But you know, that's huge. So you really need players back fit, confidence in the team, and hopefully some good momentum.
Yep. Yeah, I'm with you. I think for the Burnley game, I know a couple of our bloggers are writing about returning players this week, and I think it's if you can get, I know Coquelin's back running. I don't think, you know, whether he's full training. The fact that he's taking part in training suggests to me that they're willing to.
He's one I wouldn't rush.
If he
needs another month, give him a month. I don't want him rushed back and then he plays 30 minutes and he gets injured, he's out for the rest of the season. I'd rather have him for 5 games than have him for 30 minutes and not again.
I'd like him on the bench maybe, just to give him 10-15 at the end perhaps. But and yeah, I think Rositsky, you know, I know a lot of people have forgotten how good a player he is. I think he's the one player as a substitute that can drive us on in a, you know, game like today. He might have been ideal because he just is good at transitioning from defence into attack. He carries the ball well, and you know, he's a very gifted little player. We do forget how good he is. And I think Arteta, the Burnley game would be an ideal game just to give him 60-70 minutes maybe, and just see how his fitness is, essentially.
Yeah, you know, like, I think keeping Mertesacker in the team is fine if he's going to miss the league game. That seems sensible. There's arguments for Callum Chambers. He's a possible one as well. Jack, you know, I think he's in training now, isn't he? Or is close to be back full training?
I think he's in training, but he's certainly not in contact in training.
Okay.
I think he's doing the training away from...
Yeah, yeah, so he may be still like a month or two. But, you know, that it's all good news with the players coming back. It's if we can get all those players back and rotate, I just want to get those results, get those wins back, and then it just builds that confidence up. Because if we go into the Leicester game and we haven't won, or we've been sort of dropping points, that's not good. And then you've got the Barca game coming up as well, and that could, you know, that sort of thing can really kill your confidence.
Yeah, agree. Carl, just with regard, I know obviously like you, I'm 100% with you, we need to focus on our own fixtures rather than others, but just looking at that week where we play Southampton, Manchester City go away to Sunderland, which on paper should be straightforward, but you know they're fighting against relegation. You never know. Leicester are at home to Liverpool. Liverpool are just bipolar. You just never know what you're going to get. And Spurs are away at Norwich. You think they have enough to beat Norwich. So Southampton in the league next, skirting over the FA Cup, but that's got to be must win now, isn't it?
Yeah, we got to beat Southampton. More, I hate to use this, but revenge. They beat us 4-0. Can't let that go. Do you know what I mean? Like 4-0, and they were shit at the time. I mean, I know they were improving now, but they weren't that good when we played them. We just made them look good because of our very, very bad performance. We have to start taking points. We haven't won a game in 3 games. You know, that's 9 points dropped. And at the start of January, if someone had said to us, like, you know, out of Liverpool, Stoke and Chelsea, how many points do you think we would have got? I guarantee no one would have said, like, we would have got 1 point out of 3 games. Like, and that, for me, that's not, it's not good enough. It's genuinely not good enough. Especially, like, it's really frustrating just because playing Chelsea have won how many games this season? What? 5, I can't remember who they were.
Something like that, yeah.
West Brom, Norwich, Palace, us twice.
They've won 7, apparently. But,
and
yeah.
Villa, they beat Villa, didn't
Villa.
They?
Yeah, yeah.
So, look at the teams. So, Sunderland, okay, yeah, they've got to beat Sunderland. West Brom, they have to beat West Brom. Norwich, Palace are quite good. Villa, and us twice. That... Slightly embarrassing. But yeah, like you said, we can't look at other teams. We've just got to carry on trying to get points. 1 point out of 3 is not good enough. It's not title winning performances, at least anyway.
No. I think you're absolutely right. We just hit a sticky patch when we least expected it or needed it. John, do you, just quick question before we take listener questions, just if you look at Arsenal, Leicester and City, taking aside the Champions League element, because obviously we've got 2 games to play, Man City have got at least 2, you'd probably think they're going to play 4. So, is it Kiev they've got? I'd expect them to get through that.
Yeah, I think it's Kiev. Yeah.
I expect them to get through that. So they might have their eyes turned slightly to the other side, maybe. Do you subscribe to the idea that with what we got now, 23 games gone, so 15 left, do you think that any team that basically goes on a run of, let's say, wins 6 out of 8, 7 out of 10, Do you think that's the team that will come out of it, or do you expect this season to just carry on being completely batshit crazy?
From previous seasons, it's normally a team that goes on a sort of run of 7, 8, you know, 10 games, you know, wins 8 of them, draws 2, something like that, but doesn't lose any. They're traditionally the team that will go on and win the title. Whether that will happen this season, I've got no idea, just because I know lots of people say it's why the league's exciting and that smaller clubs are much better now. I don't subscribe to that argument. I think, yeah, the league is more exciting if you're a neutral. It's great to watch because, you know, you get like the 5-4 Liverpool-Norwich game yesterday. It was ridiculous. And, you know, the amount of goals that get scored is great. If you're just a football fan, you just want to see goals get scored. But as a competition, I think when you look at the squads that City and we have and Chelsea, you look at those squads and they should be miles ahead of so many other teams in the league. You know, there are good players at other teams like Payet at West Ham, and you look at Leicester, you know, they've got great players in Conte and Mahrez and stuff like that. But throughout the squad, they haven't got the same depth and the quality throughout their first 11. So I think it's more a case of the bigger teams are underperforming. I don't know why it is this season that they're underperforming. There's no, like, reason for it. Sometimes you get it after a World Cup or your Euros, there's, like, a bit of fatigue in players. But there hasn't been that, so I don't really get it. But I think it's going to be a very strange season, and it will probably come down to the last two, three games. You know, it could come down to that City game in, is that in April? Something like that, we've got to play
second
them.
Second to last game, yeah.
Second to last game.
I mean, that could literally be, you know, we could win that and sort of go 3 points above them, and there's still 2 games to go. You know, that sort of thing doesn't normally happen in the league. So I still can't see, the only team I can see, I hate to say it, the only team I can see going on a run is City, just because the window isn't closed yet, and if they really need to, they will go out and buy another striker, you know, or another defender if they really do need to, and they feel like, right, that will just push us over the edge. Because they're still in the League Cup as well, aren't they? So they've got the extra games.
Next midweek they play Everton, yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, that's extra games as well. And I know there's sometimes people argue that, oh, if you win the League Cup and it's early in the season, then you sort of go to sleep. If that's me and I'm a player, and that motivates me to want to win more trophies, surely you use that as sort of like a springboard for the rest of the season. It's like, right, we've got one, there's another 3, let's go for it. So I think that is a big thing. You know, momentum is a huge thing in this. You saw how, like, when we lost all those players for injury, we thought we were going to be awful. And actually, it's towards the end of that run and getting players back that we've started to stutter. We actually just kept the momentum going from when we were playing so well. So it's huge.
And let's not forget Leicester. Apparently, Claudio Ranieri was very coy yesterday and sort of almost bullish about that his side might even look to add a striker. There's talk about one of OG's favourites, Dumbia.
Oh, yeah, Dumbia, yeah. Yeah, because Roma, he was sent back to CSKA, but they don't want him for some reason.
Nobody wants him.
Yeah, so, and then Roma didn't want him back, yeah. But, you know, like, people sort of gone, oh, Leicester aren't going to do it now because Vardy hadn't scored for however long, but then he scores yesterday. And then they find out, oh, actually, he'd been playing 10 games with a groin injury and having injections every day to try and get through the pain. He has the operation, and then all of a sudden, bang, he's back, scores a goal. So, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, what you're saying, John, is we need to go and buy Higuain. That's what you need to do, isn't it?
Oh, don't make me so. I actually would. The first time in my life I'd sign Higuain.
No, same. I hate it. Yeah, it's terrible, isn't it? Right, okay, let's take some questions before we exit stage left. Carl, I'll give the first one to you. Arkan Tiger, question for the panel. Which players do you think should be loaned or sold at the end of the season? I'm just going to leave that with you because we could all have hours on that.
Sold, I don't know. We know we're going to lose 3, guaranteed. Arteta, Flamini, and Rosicki, so you know definitely 3 of them have gone. We're probably going to replace 2 rather than 3. We're not going to replace all 3 of them, there's no way. We will probably replace 2. I would hope that we would replace 2 rather than 3. Sold, it all depends on who you bring in. At the moment, I don't want to sell anyone unless we are guaranteed to bring in a better replacement than we already have. And I know I signed up Arsene Wenger right now, but we can't look at our injuries. We know we're guaranteed to have injuries. So selling players, no, at the moment. Oh, sorry, we'll probably lose Debussy as well, to be honest. So we're going to need another right back. But yeah, the three midfielders and Debussy will probably go. Apart from that, no, there's no one else in the squad I'd really want to go.
Might add a goalkeeper to that as well. I got a feeling that Ospina might look to move on, and I'm not sure the manager's convinced by Szczesny. We shall see. What you're saying is you want Bentner back. I understand. John, question for you then. Redford, Oakley, if Onene plays in the Cup, does he start for us in the league?
Yeah, if he does well, yeah. It's a tough question. Depends how well he does, I suppose. If he looks fit enough and he plays really well, and if he is tasked with the sort of deep holding defensive mid, hate the term, role, and does it really well in the game, then yeah, I don't see why not, because at the moment it's basically Flamini is the only other option, and I love Flam. He's a great player and he's been great for the club, but you know, I think from what I've seen of Elneny and what everyone else who's watched him a lot more than I have has talked about him, they say he's a very good player, and from the sounds of the way they talk about him, it sounds like he'd be better than Flamini. I'm really disappointed he hasn't come on in any game yet. I get that he didn't come on today. I didn't think there was any point bringing him on as a sub in this game. There was no point, especially after the sending off. If we're 0-0 or we're 1-0 up or something and we're 11-11, then maybe. But I would have liked to have seen him earlier. But I think this weekend's the best time for him. I hope he does really well, because there's plenty of other teams that buy players from other leagues and they come straight into the side. So there's no reason why he can't. Otherwise, the signing makes no sense. There's no reason to buy him if he doesn't come in.
I got a theory on Nene. I think that the manager would have used him sooner had he been able to get the transfer done sooner. I think that's probably, if you look at the games that we played without him, I just wonder if perhaps if that, because there was a lot of talk, wasn't there, at the end of December that he was going to be the player we'd sign.
It was sort of done, and they'd sent out a fitness coach to train with him to make sure he's up to fitness. So it seemed like, oh, right, you're going to sign him, and he's bang straight in the team. The fact it took so long, let's not go into our negotiating our idiot, whatever team it is that has to deal with the Home Office to get work permits.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think it was...
Just pretend it was Nelson Vivas again and just get it done that day.
Silvino gave him a passport. It's just, if you look at the games we played, Newcastle and Sunderland, particularly at home, those may have been games that he might have possibly been introduced. But I think the manager, I'll side with the manager on this one. I think it's the right thing to make.
I don't think today was the game. If we're 1-0 up or it's 0-0 and it's sort of 10 minutes, then maybe he gets on in that. But yeah, not when we're down to 10 men and losing.
No, I agree. Another one for Carl. Everything rude, everything. Question 2 points from 9. Is it the start of a collapse? Oh, you happy soul, everything. Carl, what do you think? I don't
know. Nah, it's not a start of a collapse. We need to play better, but no. All it takes is one win, and then, you know, it's the momentum. I understand it's getting that one win, but, you know, it's not a collapse at all. We just need that one win, you know, that will give us the momentum and the belief again that we can actually go on and do something. You know, the players are not stupid. They know that this is probably the best chance they've had in years to win the league. And any of the players who do not see that and, you know, don't want to kick on, they shouldn't be in our squad. But start of a collapse, no, I don't agree with that at all. No way.
No, same. John, question. I think it's from the same person, actually. 15 games remaining, beat Southampton and Bournemouth, win at Leicester, puts us in control, confident from there on. So it's a bit more positive this time. Still in our hands, do you think? I mean, I still think it is. What, you at home to Leicester, away at Spurs is going to be a pretty big one if this carries on.
Yeah, it's in our hands because we've got to play the teams around us. I'd rather not be in the position where we're behind, as we are at the moment. But the fact that Leicester have got to play City is nice. You know, whatever the result is going to work out one way or another for us. But yeah, if we get through those games, Southampton and Bournemouth, then that's great. But I remember couple of weeks ago, we were like, oh, we've got these run of like three easy games. We win those and then we've got the big ones. we'll be fine. So I'm not counting my chickens yet. But yeah, if we get to that point and then get to the Leicester game, win that, then I'll be a lot happier. At the moment, I'm just, it feels like a slump. I don't know if it's a proper we're going to tail off. It just feels like there's just been a just massive drop in performances. There was one other question you missed, Chris. I'll give this to you. You try and escape ever answering anything. From another one from Redford Oakley. Do any of our English players make our first 11?
Ooh, that's a toughie. English or British? We're just sticking with English. Because you'd have to put Ramsey in if you said British. First choice starting 11. That's a really good question. No, I don't think they do at the moment. I really don't think they do. Carl's already said, I'd have Campbell over Walcott, even when Alexis is fit. I'd have Alexis one side, Campbell the other at the moment. Ox, you know, on his day can show the exceptional talent he has, but right at the moment, he's going through a tricky period. I thought he did all right today, by the way. I don't think he did anything wrong today. There's one cross he should have put in earlier, but other than that, Gibbs just not even in the same stratosphere as Monreal. Who am I missing? English, Callum Chambers,
Wilshere.
See, Wilshere's probably the one. Wilshere's probably the one. I think again OG will be putting some blogs out this week where it will be hopefully gone into a bit more depth from Luke and somebody else maybe, but it's Wilshere's the one that I do wonder if he can get himself fit, which is obviously always the biggest if. But if we can get him fit, he could be, along with Welbeck and in my opinion Rizitsky, they could be three massive returns to this side. Coquelin goes without saying. I'm putting him to one side because that's obvious. The thing I'd like to see is maybe a Wilshere Coquelin combination. And the reason I say that is, you get the ability from Wilshere to do what he loves to do. So he's not going to play the number 10, Ozil's there. But you say to Jack, right, you sit slightly in front of Coquelin. Let Coquelin do all the tackling that you constantly get the knocks from. You leave that to Coquelin to put his foot in, and then he'll give you the ball, and then you can start the attack moving. You can drive us forward and then provide for Mesut. And if anything comes on the edge of the box, you know, that's yours to pick up. And if you look at how Jack Wilshere's played, particularly for England, I know there's this sort of misconception that he's played as a holding midfielder for England. He's played deeper for England. I wouldn't necessarily say he's a holding midfielder. I think it's just that Hodgson likes to operate him slightly deeper than the most offensive midfielder. So I'd like to see us do that. And just playing Jack slightly deeper, I don't think means that he's a defensive midfielder. Coquelin is the defensive midfielder we have. He is the guy that loves to just tackle and sit in front of the back four. And you could just say to Jack, right, you pick up the ball and you drive this team forward, and that's why his return might be crucial. And I know it's a bit controversial, and I know people aren't particularly happy with certain things about Aaron Ramsey on the right, but I think you're the same as me, John. I'd like to see Ramsey on the right again, and then put Wilshere in the middle with Coquelin, and then you rotate between, you know, Campbell and Walcott coming in on the right hand side if you need them. So he's probably the only one right now of the English four that would get in our side five.
Something like that. I can't remember.
Yeah, if you can
there's a great point in the chat from Funky Dino. People complain teams are soft as they don't have enough English players. Have you seen our national team? It's dog shit. I don't want to see more of that every week.
Yeah, I would rather have 10,000 more foreign players than English players any day. You know, we all love the. There's the sort of sentimental element of a boy from London or a local lad, and you know that's lovely, that's great. And don't get me wrong, if we've got five or six more Jack Wilshere's or five or six really talented local players, get them in the side. But if they're bog average, just because they're from North London, I couldn't give a monkey's. Get rid of them. You know, if they're not good enough, don't play them.
I'd agree. Jack would be the one who'd get in the team. If anyone needs cheering up, actually, today after today's miserable result, go check out John Terrell's goal. Birmingham. It was Birmingham, isn't it? Absolute peach. And there's a great video from, I can't remember what they're called, freestylers or something they're called on YouTube, and it's of a young kid at Arsenal, Amari Hutchinson, I think his name is. He's 10 or 11 years old, a left back. My God, seriously, you thought the Jeff's amazing. This kid's unbelievable. He's unreal. He's about 2 foot tall, and he does like tricks I haven't even seen Neymar do. Unbelievable.
He's like Yeah. It's like a young Carpenter at his pump.
I don't know why he's playing at left back. I've got no idea. It's brilliant. Maybe Arsene's dipping down into youth team and messing about people's positions as usual. But
he'll end up further forwards, methinks. Further forwards.
He's a great little talent to watch.
He is. We had a question that's just nipped through earlier on, which I'll kind of look to finish with, from Dan Cronin, who asked, do we sign anybody else in this window? Now, we've been through this 1,000 times. Carl, do you think that the last 3 results in particular, do you think that they nudge the manager, or do you think, like I do, that they'll say, we've got Jack, we've got Welbeck, we've got Rosicki, like a new signing, etc. Do you think that's what he's going to hang his hat on?
Yeah, we're not signing anyone else. You know, as much as I'd love to sign another striker. No, we've got too many players coming back. You know, we've got Jack, we've got Rosicki, we've got Welbeck. They're all coming back. Coquelin's coming back as well. Santi, I believe he's got a setback, hasn't he? Or he's not progressing as
wish
or something along them lines.
He's still in the gym, I think, rather than on the pitch. So yeah.
So no, we won't sign anyone else. But we have got the players coming back, and as long as those players coming back stay fit and we don't have any more injuries, he says. Hopefully, you know, it's the push that we need, because I do think some of our players are tired. I really do, and it'd be nice just to rotate and have a different option, you know. Jack getting the ball and just running forwards, you know, Theo playing through the middle with the option to bring on Giroud later on during the game, you know. Those are the things that we need. You know, teams can pretty much predict the team we're going to play now, so they set up obviously to try and counter the team we play. It'd be nice to spring a few surprises into our team, you know, not just be typical in the team we're going to play.
Yeah, I think you make some excellent points. And we should also say that you said about we might need a new right back at the end of the season. We're probably going to get West Ham's cast off back at the end of the season. So it looks like Mr. Jenkinson is returning. So
it's scary that he can't get into the West Ham squad.
Yeah.
And he's going to be the next new thing. And even yesterday I watched him play against for Man City. He gave away the penny, didn't he? And he looks like he's, dare I say, regressed.
Gone backwards, yeah.
So it's a little scary. But you never know, he might come to Arsenal and under our coaching.
That's
right. Be better. So, you know, I'm sure the West Ham coaching and our coaches are two different coaches, and we hopefully can get the best out of him, because obviously they took him for a reason. So hopefully the reason why they took him to get game time, hopefully he can get back to the sort of level he was at, or even better.
Yeah. How old is that? Just out of interest, how old is he? I'm just going to check.
23, 24, I think, Jenkinson? Yeah, or am I completely wrong?
He is 23. So you'd like to think that...
Still got time to develop.
Yeah. I think him coming back, my only worry, like you, John, is that we aren't going to get a new right back in January, so it's probably Chambers at right back if anything Wehratide happens. Well, I think that's pretty much seems obvious. So, yeah, we shall see. Okay, well, that's pretty much us for today then. Just the usual. Obviously, our latest podcast is out, slightly out of date given what happened today, but it was still a good chat, so have a listen to that. We are doing Transfer Deadline Day, God forbid. Oh, Christ. I think the plan is to do 12, 3, 6, 9 and 11, I think Gim wants to do. So we'll no doubt be seeing some usual faces for that, even though nothing will be happening. Blogs this week, OG is releasing one from Luke, I think, and possibly a couple of other ones as well, so keep an eye on those. We shall return after Burnley, 3 o'clock I think it is next Saturday, so we'll be back for that. I think that's everything really, isn't it, chaps?
Little plug for smarteta.com, smarteta.com. Very good blog, worth going to check out. Our friend, certain Mr. OG, has his fingers in that pie, but it's well worth it if you like your analytics and your stats and stuff.
Yep. Very good.
And if you need even more cheering up, I had a Chelsea fan messaging me through the entire game, one of my very best friends, saying, I can't stand watching this game. Every time we play you, we play brilliant. Why can't we play like this all season? It's so depressing. That's whilst Chelsea are beating us. Yeah.
Could always be worse. I mean, they are, you know, they are up to the heady heights of 13th tonight. Yeah. So you know.
So he was moaning about them winning the entire game.
Yeah. And spare a thought for God bless Jeff Arsenal, who lives in Fulham, and will no doubt have.
Oh, he lives on the high road, doesn't he? Yeah.
So he will have a delightful evening of Chelsea fans wandering past all evening. So God bless Jeff. Hopefully that passes quickly. Right. Okay. Well, that's everything for today then. So thank you very much, Carl. Thank you very much, John.
No worries. Pleasure.
We'll return after Burnley. Keep your happy hats on, chaps. You know, we're still in this title race. It's still ours to win. I still keep the faith. I still think we'll win it. Hopefully I'm right. If I'm not, I'll have bricks through my windows. So that's been ABW Radio. Keep it Arsenal. We'll speak to you soon, people.
Bye. Bye. Thank you.